And on the other hand, do not dress so shabbily and remain so grimy, since this is ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties. Choose a moderate path by remaining simple. Have such aversion to abandoning one's dress and adopting the dress code of others, just as a man has aversion to wearing the dress of a woman. Have such aversion to abandoning one's dress and adopting the dress code of others, just as a man has aversion to wearing the dress of a woman. For a woman to wear flimsy and thin clothing is equivalent to being undressed and naked. If the warp, the thread of the clothing that runs lengthwise, is of silk, and the weft, the thread that runs breadthwise, is of cotton, there is no harm. If the warp, the thread of the cloth of the clothing that runs lengthwise is of silk, and the weft, the thread that runs breadthwise, is of cotton, there is no harm. It is haram for men to wear a gold ring, only a silver ring weighing 4.374 grams or less may be worn. It is haram for men to wear a gold ring, only a silver ring weighing 4.374 grams or less may be worn. It is prohibited to wear tinkling jewelry like small bells, etc.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We should refresh in our minds our intention all the time that our main object of this month of Ramadan is to acquire taqwa, to make our islah and of Allah's ibadat, the faraz of roza, all our intentions, we should always refresh it, keep it in mind. And also try and always refresh and play back in our mind the value of this great month, the Quran Sharif, rozas, how great they are, the other ibadat of dua, etc., that this month is filled with all these things. And also that Allah Ta'ala has been so kind that He has chained the shayateen, and He has made our nafs weak, all this for our islah. And we should think, if I still don't get my islah, then what will be my condition? It is, in other words, a guaranteed prescription for one's islah, which in turn means to be close to Allah, to become a wali, a favorite of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And once a person does become a favorite, of the many other virtues and benefits of it is, that on the time of a person's death, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that there will be three registers open in which your name can go. One is the register of the kuffar, may Allah protect us completely from there. Because if that register, then a person goes into such torture and adab from the time of death forever afterwards. In the qabr, on the day, and you cannot imagine how that torture is. So may Allah completely protect us from that. وَمَا قَرَّبَ إِلَيْهَا. And all those things also that leads towards it. That whatever, by our actions, by our words, anything, that we must be saved from kufr and shirk and disbelief completely. Then there are two other registers. One is we die as believers, but with sins on us also. That is, we are not pure and clean. For those people also, there will be azab in the qabr if Allah doesn't forgive them. They didn't make tawbah, they go with sins, with guna from this world. And if Allah does not forgive them, they don't get the intercession of anyone, then also the azab in the qabr on the day of qiyamah, though finally they will go to Jannah, but even, yeah, we can't take the prick of a needle just when we want to test our sugar. That prick also is too much for us. Or one mosquito we can't tolerate, one mosquito bite, one fly that troubles us. In the qabr, how can we tolerate what the azab will be there? So may Allah save us from that. And the third register is the one who are the awliya, the friends of Allah. And they are darajat, they are stages of this wilayat. It means a person who dies without guna. And that is by tawbah. You save yourself from guna, you make your full effort. And perchance, if guna gets made, you will be conscious of it immediately. You make tawbah of it immediately. And you stay away from guna, you have become the wali of Allah. Then see what great enjoyment, and that will be forever and ever. The least enjoyment a person gets there, and if in this world he had all the enjoyment you could imagine, he will at that time realize, I was actually in azab in dunya. There was no enjoyment. This is enjoyment. And that is the least, and there is no limit to that enjoyment. So, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. That is what we must strive for. Allah has given us our time to strive for that. So for that, the roza, that is what we will be discussing a bit in length now, our fast, our roza, that we don't only have the structure of the roza, but that we have the finishing also. That we are selling, not only buying at 5 rand and selling at 5 rand, but we're selling at a profit. And we are making profit in our roza. We are seeing the benefits of our roza. So the ulama have written that together with what is called the shari'i, the fiqhi roza, that is with niyat, we abstain totally from subah sadiq until sunset, from eating, drinking, and our sexual desires. That roza will be made, the fiqhi roza. But the finishing of it and the profit in it, that we should keep 6 other rozas also. Rozas of the eyes, rozas of the tongue, roza of the ear, roza of the heart and mind, roza of the other limbs of the body, and roza of food. Food, well, what does that mean, roza of food? That we don't have any doubtful food, that our food is halal and tayyiba, then that we eat in the correct way, and we don't overeat, etc. A person who keeps his roza like this, then that person will make profit. He'll see the benefit. He'll feel it. Just like our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, as it comes in the hadith, "An-nazru sahmun min sihami iblis masmum." This eyes is an arrow of the poisonous arrows of shaitan when a person looks at wrong and haram. "Man tarakahu makhafati." A person who does not look at haram in the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Abdaltuhu. Allah says, I myself changed. He made a great effort because the desire to look is very desirous in man. Man likes to look at other women, but he doesn't look in the fear of Allah Ta'ala. In return, I will pay him, and I will give him in return imanan. يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Such iman that he will find, actually he will be the wajib. وَجَدَ يَجِدُ is to find. And the person who is found is wajib. He will be wajib. He will actually taste the sweetness of that iman in his heart. Just like, who doesn't know the sweetness of sugar, the sweetness of honey, all wonderful things. And the masala which is in food, salt. Without salt, that food is, you don't want to eat it. With all the spices in it, how delicious it becomes. And we feel it on our tongue. Animals feel also, they also got taste. But our taste buds of our heart are dead. We don't taste the sweetness of iman. And if we don't, 99% is because our eyes are not under control. If the eyes were under control, it is a promise in this hadith of Qudsi that he will be wajid, he will find the sweetness in his du'as, in dhikr, in tilawat, roza, jihad. He won't be afraid of jihad, he'll look forward to jihad. All these qualities, they will become so desirous to him. So that is when the sweetness of iman will enter in the heart. And there are other things also by which the sweetness of iman comes into the heart. So if we keep our rozas like that, the sweetness will come and we will get this enjoyment. So one is that we have to keep roza of the eyes also. And that is that everything which is haram, a person does not look at it. That is the highest, that is one level. More than that, even which are permissible things, but are unnecessary to look at. That also you don't look at. Like for example, you just pick up some magazine or anything, And there is nothing haram in it, no anything haram. But there is no real benefit, something about, anything about dunya. And then you avoid that also. What is unnecessary, what is not of, what is called la yani. What is, I have no benefit for you, nor in your deen, nor in your dunya. And you're just passing your time looking at such things. Even that you keep your eyes away. In looking at haram, there is also one thing we must keep in mind, that to look at amrad. Amrad are those young boys who have just become baligh and whose beards have not come out. And that is, the best is not to look at them at all. And it is permissible to look. The haram look of these young boys is when you have a desire of haram in you. Then the parda for that boy is just like the parda of a woman. From head to toe to look at him is haram. If you find in yourself a desire, a lustful desire for that boy, then it is haram totally from the head to the toes to look at that boy. Parda is the same rule as it is for woman. If you don't have that desire, then it is permissible to look. He's not a female, you can look. But preferably that you still avoid your glances. So this is one thing. And in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that say to the believers, and here our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, that for namaz, Allah said himself, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَةِ, perform. Allah didn't say, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that tell to the believers they must perform namaz. For roza, Allah himself said, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةُ, Allah commanded all this himself. But for this bad nazri, looking at haram, Allah Ta'ala did not say it himself directly to the believers. Allah told his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you say, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that they must cast مِنْ تَبْعِيدِيَا, not every gaze, not all the time they must look down. Some of the gazes, and they are few. That is, those which are haram gazes. Only those cast your gaze, put your eyes down. And Allah didn't say you must close your eyes. From haram things, Allah didn't say close your eyes. Allah said, just cast your gaze, some of your gazes, just cast them low. So what difficulties in there? Why is it difficult for us to stay away from haram looks? Allah didn't make it such that you have to look all the time down. Allah didn't say that when there is haram around other women, close your eyes and walk. Allah didn't make that difficult, become blind, like a blind person who can't see. That also, Allah only said, just cast your gazes low. So this, why did Allah Ta'ala say to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you tell the believers? Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, like for example, a father knows that his son is doing something wrong. But he also finds it hard to approach him. There is such a guna that I don't want to tell him, I don't want to discuss this with him. He tells the uncle, the father's brother, he tells, say, tell your nephew, tell my son. Or he tells his friends that you must explain to this son of mine that this what he is doing is not good, is not right. You can't explain it to you from yourself. There Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. The heart, Allah speaks no matter what it is. But just imagine this guna, Allah dislikes it. Like a father, he feels bad. Why my son is doing this? And he doesn't want to, he didn't expect it from him. He doesn't want him to know that he knows it. Allah knows everything. But he, so much he's got that he tells somebody else, you tell. So Allah told his Nabi, that, oh my Nabi, you explain to these believers that they must cast their gazes low. They mustn't look at haram. You mustn't look at other women, those that what all have made haram. So just imagine from just the way Allah has brought this, that should be enough for us to understand that Allah, who is my creator, my nourisher, my sustainer, who is the one who gave me eyes and gave me eyes free of charge, and I use it to displease Him. He gave me that ni'mat, and I use this ni'mat to displease Him. How low am I? How base? How kamina am I? How terrible am I that I'm displeasing Allah Ta'ala? In the same context, Allah who gave us the eyes, and we look at the things which Allah has made a test for us. He made that test, and we failed that test by looking. Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, a young man who was addicted to sinning, couldn't give up his wrongful life, of all the wrongs that are in his life. But he was having remorse also. He didn't like that I'm committing guna, I'm living a wrong life. That also he was conscious. But he was so addicted to guna, like an addict, that is an addict. He knows I'm doing wrong. But he doesn't want to do it also. But he gets back to it again. He falls down and he gets back to it again. So he asked Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, for advice. And Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, told him that, see, when you want to commit guna, your addiction, you want to go back, then you do it because you got strength in your body. If you are weak, if you are in a coma, if you are unconscious, you can't commit guna. But you are strong, your hands, your legs, everything is moving. And that also we should think of one very beautiful dua in the hadith. That read this dua also, try and make it a habit on and off to read it. Allahumma bihamdikan saraft. Oh Allah, I praise you. All my movements that I do, that my eyes can move, I can see, my brains are functioning, I walk, I lift up my hands, legs, all these things that I do, it is only your praises, oh Allah. You gave me all these limbs, you gave me strength. If a person is paralyzed, what can he do? One time, one family member of ours, marhum, he passed away now, Allah grant Jannah to all our family people, the whole ummah, Allah grant Jannah. He was ill in hospital, I went and visit him. When I came to the door of his ward, his young son, young married man, ran to me and he said, Maulana, today, daddy, first time he ate with his own hands. We eating all the time with our own hands. Do we ever think of it as a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala? That person who became so ill, so weak, he couldn't eat, they had to feed him. Today he ate with his own hands. Then you realize, ni'matu idha fuqidat urifat. When the ni'mat is taken away, then we record. Otherwise we don't pay attention. So imagine, what a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Everything that we are doing. Then I went to his bed. He was lying down with his leg stretched out. He lifted his right leg little bit, very little. And he said, Maulana, today first time I can lift my leg. When you wait. Today we all came walking, we stood, we made namaz, we made ruku, sajda, everything. Well, who gave us all this? So Allahumma bihamdikan saraft. Oh Allah, it is only by I praise you, your ni'mat, your favors on me, that I'm moving around. And when I lie down to sleep, I get up, I go to toilet, I sit down, I can get up again. Oh, everything is only by Allah's fadal. So be conscious of all this. You get Allah's ma'rifat. All the time we are moving. And with whose tawfiq, whose strength, who gave us this ability? Only Allah Ta'ala. And at the same time, what a dua of the hadith, وَبِذَنْبِ اَتَرَفْتِ. And I accept and admit my sin. I was supposed to be such that my eyes should have been taken away. I should have been made blind. I should have become paralyzed. My hands, legs shouldn't be moving. I should be made mad. My brain shouldn't work. I use them wrongly. You gave me this ni'mat and I use them against you. The worst punishment should have come on me. But you are so kind that you still let me walk around properly, everything. So anyway, Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi told this boy that when you want to commit sin, then don't eat Allah's rozi. You want to eat His rozi and you want to disobey Him. Your wife wants to eat your rozi and she wants to disobey you. Or you feed your wife cooks and prepares food for you. She feeds you and now when you got strength in you, now you want to disobey her. Now you want to start fighting with her, etc. So what rozi Allah gave us and we eat His rozi, Rahman ki khate ho aur shaitan ki ghate ho. You eating Rahman's food and you singing the song of shaitan, doing all shaitan's work. Forget from a religious point of view, not only Islamic, any religious point of view, logically also from a human point of view, how can this be right? Whose food you eat and you want to disobey him? So he says, how can I? All rozi is only from Allah. Who else gives rozi? Nobody else. So then he told him, I told him, I'll give you 5 advices. So he said, okay, give me the second advice, what is it? He says, when you want to commit guna, then do not commit it on the earth of Allah. Go out of Allah's earth. That you want to stay in Allah's house and you want to disobey Him. Your wife wants to stay in your house and with your knowledge, and she wants to eat your food, and then she wants to disobey you. So you will stay somewhere else. One aeroplane, they made an announcement, if there are children with you and they are being disobedient, they are being naughty, then send them outside to play. So how can you go out of the aeroplane? So like that, if you want to commit guna, go out of Allah's house. So how can you do that? So he says, how can I go out of the world? So he says, then you think you want to stay in Allah's house, in His world, and you want to disobey Him? Does that make sense to you? So he said, okay, what is the third advice? He said, the third advice is, whenever you want to commit guna, then go and make it such a place where Allah can't see you. He said, that's also impossible. Allah sees you wherever you are. However, whatever, wherever you are, Allah Ta'ala watches you. One shaykh who had taught his murideen, and there are more benefits for us than just the story in this, that Allah is Hadir, Nadir, Allah watches. And in different ways he drummed it into his murids. Bayans after, for a week or 10 days, continuously. After that, he told all when they came, that I've got these chickens here, fowls, and I want to each one of you to go and slaughter it. But you must slaughter it in such a place that nobody sees you. So all went, they looked for all the places, they slaughtered. One murid came back with his chicken unslaughtered. So the sheikh asked him, what's wrong with you? Didn't you so like useless? You didn't, couldn't even find a place where nobody sees you. So he says, wherever I went, Allah was watching me. So that, he say, only this murid understood what I was drumming into them for 10 days. He understood. So to understand that Allah is watching us always. One father who was training his son to become a crook, to steal. So he took him where to go and steal, and he told him, you stay at a safe distance away. And if anyone comes, then you must shout, call, whistle, and then give me a signal that there are police around, people have come, etc. So as the father was about to start to steal, he started whistling or shouting, whatever, he made a sign, clapping his hands, whatever they had agreed. So the father ran, and then he didn't ask who's there or what. And together they ran for a long distance. Afterwards he asked him, who was there? Nobody came, no police came, no people came, nothing. He said, Allah was watching. So to get this reality that Allah is watching all the time. And our children, those, that is also a training we have to give them. That Allah is watching you wherever you are. This must be drummed into. Allah is hearing everything what you are saying all the time. If this reality of this iman comes, like for us it's only to speak, but to realize that Allah Ta'ala is watching all the time. And Allah watches everything all the time. One Sikh, the Sikh people, they told us this instance in England, it happened, that he was driving and he went to the traffic light, it was green, and he passed it, but the camera flashed on him. So he saw that the camera is faulty. I didn't go through the red light, I went through the green light, the traffic light. So he came round again, and he went for a second time again, through the green light again. Again the camera flashed. So now he was convinced that the camera is faulty. And the traffic department, especially in UK, many other Europe countries, they are very strict also. They subtract your points also, suspend your license also, and heavy fines also, and those fines don't delay in coming. They come promptly, on time, and you have to pay on time. Otherwise, your points, your license also, etc. So he put witnesses in the car. So this is a good chance we can sue the traffic department, that the system is faulty. So he went through the green light again. Again the camera flashed. And before he could think of making a lawyer and getting to sue the traffic department, the traffic fine came. But it didn't come for going through the green light, for not wearing seat belts. So Allah is watching us, and everything Allah is watching. This is one weakness that most of us have, we just start making little bit namaz or something, I think I'm very pious. But how many of my other things are not yet in order? And Allah's eyes are on everything. Allah's cameras are on everything. Allah's cameras are whether our beard is a full length or not, properly according to sunnah, for those whose beards grow, etc. Allah's eyes, our trousers above the ankle or not. Allah's eyes and Allah's cameras, how we are treating our wives also. One side we can be making lot of ibadat, etc., but we're not treating the wife properly. And by discarding of hukuk al-ibad, rights of people, then our ibadat also goes away. The sawab, the nur, the sawab of the ibadat also goes away. We know very well in the hadith sharif of that woman who kept a cat but did not feed the cat on time, etc., and fastened the cat that it can't look for its own rosy. And she was a very pious woman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said she'll go to Jahannam. That for a cat, cats that we keep, how much don't we have to consider? And who is really a wali of Allah Ta'ala? One time, Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was visiting us in South Africa. He was a guest of somebody, a very senior person in Lodium. And after all program eating, and he showed Hazrat his room, this is your room. What a room was prepared for Hazrat. Very, very, everything, what you can't imagine, everything was there. When Hazrat went, everything in the morning for Fajr, we went and fetch Hazrat. They found that Hazrat slept on the carpet at the bottom. And what a bed was prepared. They said, Hazrat, this bed, yeah, what a bed. We took so much trouble and for you, and it was our honor to have you. He said, when I came in the room, I found a cat sleeping on the bed. And it was having a sweet, deep sleep. I thought, who am I? This reality when it comes that I am the worst of all animals also. When this reality comes, then a person can do. He said, who am I that I must disturb the sleep of the cat? And for me it was good enough to sleep on the floor. And this floor, carpet also, what a carpet. How many seven shield carpet or whatever. It was more than enough for me also. So this is that what comes in a person. So anyway, he gave him this third advice that don't commit a sin where Allah can watch you. So that reality also, if we think about these 5 points, then inshallah this is also sufficient for us to give up sinning. As it proved for this young man who was addicted to sin, his whole life he gave up sinning. If we just keep on thinking of it. Then he told him, okay, tell me the next point. The fourth point he told him, that when Malakul Maut will come, we all know he has to come one day, whichever day it's going to be, then ask him just for 5 minutes grace, so that you can make your tawbah. He said, where he listened to me? When he comes, he doesn't listen to anyone. It can be the King of Kings, he doesn't listen to anyone. So he says, then if he doesn't listen and you don't want to make tawbah, you think for yourself that what your condition will be. So he said, okay, the fifth point, that when the angel who will be taking you to Jahannam, to throw you in Jahannam, you try and bribe him. And you try and tell him that, ignore me, just sweep this whole thing, just let me go somehow. He said, those malaika, they la ya'asuna allaha ma amarhum, yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. Whatever they are coming, they don't disobey Allah in any way whatsoever. He said, then you think for yourself. Then he made tawbah, whole life he spent in ibadah. So anyway, from where was this? Ji, Allahumma bihamdika sarraf. All this this strength which Allah has given us, it's all from Allah. So use it in the obedience of Allah. So anyway, the eyes also, Allah is watching them all. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. In this ayat, our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum, Rahmatullah Ali, draws a beautiful point that Allah says that Allah knows the khiyanat of the eyes, which means that the eyes are an amanat of Allah Ta'ala. Because only if it's an amanat can khiyanat be done. So it is an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. So what Allah gave you today in this world, we know, anyone who is a khain, and if it's a husband, if it's a wife, if it's in money matters, If it's a masjid, money matters. Many places, the people, they assert the money of the institutes, of the madrasa, how bad people speak about them. So this is, you are being khayn, not of the public's money, of Allah's amanat, which Allah kept directly by you. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. And what is in the heart, what you are hiding in your heart, which the malaika also don't know. Allah, but Allah Ta'ala knows all that. Aankho ki choriya aur dil ki raaz sab tu janta hai, eh beniyaz. Allah, He knows everything what is in there, what was the khianat of the eyes, what you are watching from the side of your eyes, what you are telling your wife, I'm busy working on the internet, and she's fast asleep and you are watching all filth and dirt. But don't think nobody is watching you. Meri aankho par, meri nazar par, unki nazar paas ba rahi. On my eyes, Allah's eyes were watching my eyes. We are watching everyone who is doing wrong here, who is doing wrong there. Like in the madrasa, we have to watch the students all the time. Whether the ustads are coming on time, everything, all that we have to watch. But Allah is watching us also. All the time Allah is watching us also. You can use a binoculars and you can see, and you can, with a zooming lenses, you can zoom and see, look where and where. But Allah is watching you also. All the time. So Allah Ta'ala knows everything. To meri nazar par unki nazar paas ba rahi. Afsos, is khabar se me be khabar tha. What a pity, I didn't know Allah is watching me. Like a person who goes in a, it happens commonly, one friend of ours, also once his wife went to the supermarket, Darda lady, but some people just have got this habit. And she picked up something and she didn't pay for it, put it in her bag or whatever. And on the CCTV they were watching, they caught her. And then as she was leaving, the lady, well, you poor, won't come here please. And then you stole, everyone denies first. That you, I came here to steal, you think I'll steal, you expect me to steal. Then they show you the footage on the camera. When you see it, now you got no choice, you just have to admit. You just have to lower your head and you have to admit it is. Just like that, Allah is watching everything of ours also. And Allah will question us, and it comes in the Quran Sharif. The people will deny to Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala will show them the footage. And the real big screen will be on the day of Qiyamah. That big screen, such a way, like you have in many places, when they're having a function, whatever, people are eating, whatever. Then the camera is on a certain person, but they're showing it on the screen there. Or like in sports, where there is a soccer match, rugby match, somewhere way in the world. And sometimes they focus the camera on the spectators also. And this person with his one eye closed, putting peanuts in his mouth. Then they focus it properly and they're showing the whole world that this person is busy behaving like, oh, you're scratching your nose. They focus that camera and they show it in the whole world. This is what this person is doing. Like that on the day of Qiyamah, everyone, the all from Adam alayhi salam to Qiyamah's day, they will see on the big screen what we were doing in privacy. What we thought nobody is knowing, is knows, it was being recorded all the time. And it will show on the big screen. Your wife will see what you were doing. Your daughter will see what you were doing. Your mother will see what you were doing. You are a big sheikh and you're talking big things. All your murids will see. The murid acted so pious in front of the sheikh. All will see on the day. Illa man tab. A person who makes sincere tawbah, Allah wipes out. Allah Himself destroys all those records. No, it will, nothing of that will come out. Those records are not destroyed from the High Court, from the Constitutional Court, from the World Court, from Allah's Court, that all those files are destroyed. All the files are allowed. So anyway, our eyes, we have to keep roza. So Allah told to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you tell the believers. And this is one hukam of Allah Ta'ala, where Allah gave the woman separate hukam. Law. Otherwise, everywhere where Allah made yaqeemus salah, the man are included, the woman are included, jinnat are included, everyone is included. Kutiba alaykumus siyam, everyone was included. But this was one place where Allah gave the Muslims, the men, Allah addressed them separately. And the woman, so that alone shows how important this hukam is. That Allah didn't just in kullil mu'mineen, mu'minata included in there. But it was so much of importance to this law. And also unfortunately, what is so valuable and important, we pay less attention to it. We pay attention to the small things and the big, most important things normally we pay scant attention to. It's human nature this also. So this is so important that Allah gave two separate commandments. And then Allah Ta'ala says, يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that some of the gazes they must lower. And that also Allah Ta'ala made it so easy to lower the gaze. Like for example, if any place, the riots are common in that place, riots take place, or people go on strikes, and with the strike, it's not peaceful. They're throwing stones, they're damaging property, etc. So people put wooden shutters on their windows, so that if riots have to take place, we'll just pull down the shutters, wooden, aluminium, whatever kind of shutters they may be. And then when they see riots are coming, it's replayed. Commonly it happens in those places, people are striking again, quickly they'll go out, put their shutters on, that our windows must not be broken, our house must not be damaged, the shop must not be damaged. So yeah, these riots for the eyes, which are all the time, almost everywhere, all the time. And you have to, and Allah gave us shutters. The eyelid is a shutter Allah has put on the eye. So Allah gave us shutters free of charge also. And to put those shutters on, you have to go and pick them up, put them on their place. Or modern time, you have to go and press a button. You press a switch, remote, you press a button. But you'll have to do something somewhere. Then that shutter will come down. But Allah, for this shutter to bring it down, Allah didn't give us a switch or a button. Our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum says, if that button was, yeah, by our knee or by the ankle, and now you see a woman coming, now you have to close your shutters. There is fitna here. Yeah. So you have to close your, and you have to bend down and go and press the button here. Yeah. Or you have under your knee, you have to press a button. How long it should have taken. And also, while going down, it could happen, you fall down. And that woman will thought this man is gone head over heels for me. He's so overtaken by me. And the way he's looking at me, he fell down. No, Allah didn't give that hukam. And Allah made it just by the flick of a thought. Just the flick of a thought, pull your parda down. And Allahu Akbar wa Hazrat on beautiful poem also, Islahi poem, that when she came in front, who you did not have to see, was saamne aaye, hum nabina hoge. You just close your shutters down, you became blind. And now you estimated she's gone past, you open your shutters, was saamne se hat gaye, hum bhi na hoge. Now she's no more in front, now you can see. And a person who has this concern, he won't find it difficult to close his eyes. And where it is more, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says one time, Hazrat Maharaj Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, who is our Shaykh, our Dada Shaykh, he was leaving from Karachi airport. And the plane was delayed or something, so all went away, met Hazrat. He says, I felt, how can I leave my Shaykh alone? He went and he sat with Hazrat, all the time, till the time of his departure. And in airports, when an airline comes in, an aeroplane, all the passengers, and sometimes whole lot of women are moving, and there isn't oriani, nakedness. In our countries we have oriani, women are almost naked all the time. There is only bepardagi. The most is only the face is open. Otherwise the body is covered generally in our countries, India, Pakistan. There, alhamdulillah, till today there isn't all this nudity there. It is the most it is bepardagi, that they don't observe the parda properly. But that also, Maulana saw there are too many, how long I'm going to keep my eyes down? So he asked his wheelchair to be turned to the wall, and he was facing the wall all the time. So if a person wants to look after his iman, he won't find it. You see too many women, then you sit down and you got no shoelaces, but you're making like you are fastening your shoelaces all the time. Till that fitna is gone, a person, why, after all, why not? When there is a sandstorm, and the sand particles are blowing, and you know they'll go in your eyes. You don't only close your eyelids and eyes, you put your hands also. Eh? Why? Because your eyes, you know how important. As we know, the eyes with one piece of that sand goes in your eyes, all that difficulty. It can damage your eyes also. There can be permanent damage. A person is worried of his eyes. So when you are worried of this physical eye, if you damage your spiritual eye, and you are deprived of looking at Hurul Een in Jannat, and it may happen this guna can even, how many people were deprived of Iman at the time of Maut? This bad nazri, it deprives a person of his, people of, one time, one buzurg was making tawaf in at Haram of Makkah, and he saw one person at Multazam, the place between Hajar Aswad and the door of the Kaaba Sharif, which is a place where du'as are very readily accepted. This person was making only one dua, oh Allah, give me khatima on Iman, give me khatima on Iman. That buzurg went round 3, 4 times, 5 times, same dua this person is making. So he told him, are there any other duas to make? Is there only this one dua? He said, you don't know my story. I asked him, what is your story? He said, I had a brother who gave adhan for 40 years free of charge. Lillah fillah. No money he charged in Allah's muhabbat and making masjid's khidmat, giving azan 5 times a day for 40 years. When the time of his maut came, he asked for a Quran Sharif. We all got very happy, mashallah. He's taking Quran Sharif. Then when we gave it to him, he said, I've got nothing to do with this book. I'm dying today as a Nasrani, as a Christian. And he died like that. Then he said, my second brother, 30 years, Azan, Muazzin, Lillah, Fillah, free of charge. Time of Maut, exactly the same thing he did also. And he died as a Jew. He said, I'm dying as a Jew today. So he says, now it's my time, and I'm so worried. So I ask him, why this happened to your brothers? Because of this bad nazri. And what is this bad nazri, which is referred as a habit which a person does. Sometimes a person, he tries to save himself, mistake he makes tawbah, inshallah, there won't be mu'akhadah on that. But this is a habit, to go on the internet, to look at filth for hours and hours, and Allahu Akbar, what to say, some of our friends, ulama, they ask for their treatment, they have fallen into such a mess, that they download those things, they have to pay, they have overdrawn on their credit cards, they haven't got money to pay, their interest is accumulating on their credit cards, and they just addicted to this year. The house is breaking up. The wife comes to know. And the children become angry with the parents. Those cases are reported to us where a child said, if I had a gun, I should shoot my father dead. What he has done to my mother. Remember also, children are more attached to their mother. If you want the love of your children, be good to their mother. If you are bad to them, they will hate you. If they see you always swearing the mother, shouting at the mother, ill-treating the mother, those children will learn to get nafrat for you, dislike for you. But if you treat her well, they will respect you also. They will love you also. So this is a terrible sin, and where it has led people. It's not only the eyes that a person sees, but a person then, it goes into worse things. The danger part is the start, and also our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, he said, Allah has been so kind. He said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Mu'mineen are the friends of Allah. So Allah desires good for His friends. So He cut this disease from the root. If you don't look, this is where all the guna starts. It is first looking, then it is thinking, then it is planning, then it goes into action. Now you want to contact that lady, now you want to go further, and after that it is disaster. And also our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, said, Shaitan is such a deceiver. If you have a rep, a person who comes and rep at your shop, and he shows you goods, this year sample he shows. And in Gujar Urdu, they usually say sampul. For sample, sampul. So he shows you the sample here, this goods we are going to deliver for you, this is the price. You said, okay, very good, nice, good, I'll be able to sell this, you order. But when he sends something else. Not that quality, not that what he showed you, he deceived you, he sent you something else. So this is what Shaitan does. He shows you the face, and then he takes you on the pull, which is a breach. And then from there he drops you into the dirty gutters, to the filthiest place of that woman, he drops you there. What he tempted you with, he showed you the face of the woman. And where he drops you, to the where all the filth and dirt comes out from. Where the all, whichever type of dirt and filth you can think of comes out from, he drops you there. And this is what insan, this is how shaitan. So he's such a deceiver that he deceives you in this way. How can you keep friends with him? How can you listen to him? How can you buy his words, what he's advertising and what he's showing? Be, you're a mu'min. Allah said, "Kul lil mu'mineen." Mu'mineen are those people. The non-believers are those, they know the things of this dunya. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Mu'min is a person who knows akhirat. He knows the commands of Allah and the values. You're a mu'min. Therefore, one great wazifa for wasawis. Many people have this problem also. Evil thoughts. Whatever, and there are two general categories of evil thought. One is about woman you think. One is about other people, pious people, about ulama you get. He's like this, he's like this, he did this, he did this. And shaitan plays with a person. So how many times you ask a alim, people came and asked me, you said this. I say this thing never even thought past my mind. I never thought of this. Shaitan makes this. And you start thinking bad about ulama, etc. Many people ask me, I said something about Mufti Shafi Saab rahmatullahi. I said, Allahu Akbar, what great respect we have for Mufti Shafi Saab. People said, we heard you said something about Maulana Asad Madani rahmatullahi. I say, we got so much of great respect. Shaitan makes this. So, now we don't verify that certain we heard this Maulana said this. Finish in your book, he's a write-off. Now how can he speak about a thing like this? How can he say a thing like this? So shaitan works like this. So these evil thoughts also. So wasawis are terrible things. One ilaj, great ilaj in the hadith, that you say, Amantu billahi wa rusulihi. Rusulihi, the plural. Rasul is singular, rusul is plural. That I'm a person who brought iman on Allah and his rasul, and I'm in this wasawis. In this filthy things, I must involve myself. I brought iman on Allah. My iman is on solid, the most solid foundation in the world. On Allah, on His Quran, on Akhirat, on Qabr. I brought iman on those things. Where wasawis are troubling me? Wasawis can't come near me also. And you expel all those wasawis. So anyway, so this eye, guna of the eyes, can deprive a person of Jannah also. Once with the family we went to a resort, and there also the reception ladies, how they were dressed, etc. And they come into the house, to the room, want to find out this, that. So there Allah put a thought in my mind. We went to Karachi after that, and I said this to Hazrat. Hazrat, this thought came to me as an ilaj, as a treatment, that if you look at these women, your nafs desires, you want to. And don't bluff ourselves also. That people think, oh, I've got a big beard here, and big kurta, and topi, and amama also. He makes no gunas. So we also think I make no gunas. But we are involved in what gunas all the time. And worstly, when you got title of Maulana, and you got title of Hazrat, and you got title of Haji Sahab, now you think that all things, Maulana, where Maulana makes gunas? Out of the question, the public got this in their mind, Maulana makes no gunas. And because they think like that, we also think, yeah, I make no gunas. But you are involved in the worst gunas, terrible gunas. So I told, so this wasawis come to every person. So I told Hazrat, Allah put in my heart, that if I look here, it must not happen, Allah deprive me of the hurul in Jannah. Hazrat said, mashallah, very good. That is a, so whenever we see this woman think, that if we have to get deprived, yeah, you're only going to see. What else more? Or there nothing else? Or if you go further, perhaps, what, how much? And then, how long you're going to live? How long is your strength and your health going to be? Jannat, those ghurul ain will be forever. Your wife will be more beautiful than them. And they will be virgins forever. And you'll be young men forever. You'll have all your strength forever. All that you want to throw away, just for this little, Thuri deir ki lazzat, hamisha ki zillat. How can you do that for little while enjoyment and permanent suffering in this way and disgrace and humility? How can you opt for that? A person whose eyes are little open, it's impossible that he can even ever think of these things. So Allah Ta'ala, how kind was Allah that he made, he cut it from the root. That don't see and aram chain se raho. One person wrote to Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. And he says, when I see a beautiful woman and my heart desires to look, but Allah's command not to look, I don't look, then I feel sad in my heart that when I'll see that woman again, and how she was dressed and how she was behaving, not behaving, acting, how she was acting and how she was performing all the time. I really wanted to see, now my heart is sore. So Hazrat wrote back to him and asked him that if you don't see, you saw the woman, but your first glance is marked. Your eyes fell the first time, but you turned your eyes away, unless hukam, and you did not see. For how long does that sorrow remain in your heart? And if you look at her properly, you take your time and now you're looking at her and enjoying looking at her everything and her whole body, every part you're looking properly. For how long does that sorrow remain in your heart? Anyway, you're a pious person, you're not going to commit zina or anything, you're only going to look. So now how long will that remain, that sorrow in your heart? He replied, he said, Hazrat, when I turn my eyes away, that sorrow remains for about 8-10 minutes. Then after that I forget about it. We carry on with life again. And if I look properly, then for 72 hours that sorrow remains. That now you got a proper picture of us. And the picture is in your mind. It's filed in the album. You don't need an outside album. It's in your mind, it's in your heart. And just inside, you are in i'tikaf and you're opening your files. And you're opening your album and you're looking at this picture and that picture. And 20-year-old albums are also stored in the file. Those files and those albums are all stored. So Hazrat said, you decide for yourself what is better, to be parishan for 10 minutes, to be in distress, or for 72 hours. 72 hours, you're a pious person. You're a righteous person. You're making tahajjud. Now in your tahajjud also the file is opening. You're a person, you are crying to Allah in your du'as, and you should enjoy your du'as. And now when you want to cry, that album is opening again. And that picture is coming in front of you again. So you think for yourself, what is it? Make your own decision. So it is so clear. So Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا. And يَغُضُّوا, just cast your gazes low. Don't close your eyes. There was Maulana Bahadur, Rahmatullah Ali in Zimbabwe. Very mashallah, so he was a very witty person, very pious person. Once he told me that the people who made cars, they also learned from the Quran Sharif how to make cars. I asked Maulana, where is that in the Quran Sharif, that to how to make cars in the Quran? Quran teaches that. He says, didn't you read the ayat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ? I say, how does that fit in? He says, like if you're driving your car at night and your headlights are on, and your extra lights also on. Bright lights not, and the extra other lights also. Spotlights also, all they are on. And another car is coming from the front, also bright lights on, spotlights also, you get dazzled. And you can make an accident. You can go one into the other, the car's head-on collision you can make, because your eyes are dazzled, you can't see properly. And how dangerous, 5-10 people can die there. So what is the simple solution? You just dip your eyes, your lights, and your bright lights, you put them off. Now you can see properly. So your lights are not switched off. If you switch your lights off, that person will wonder, well, was this a spoof car or what? There was a car coming, the car just disappeared suddenly. So you don't put your lights off, you just dip your lights. And now you can pass one another safely. So the same way, you say Allah commanded this, that you are walking on the street and your bright lights are on. You are looking around everywhere, what's everything you are seeing. And a woman is coming, her bright lights are also on. So yeah, Allah commanded not put off your lights. Just dip your lights. And she also dips her lights. You can go past one another quite safely. And if you don't, and you keep your bright lights on, there the accident can happen. 5-10 people can die. 2 cars are right off. Maybe a pile up of cars also. Other cars come, they also come into that accident. Only so much can happen. And this is really a small nuksan compared to spiritual nuksan. Yeah, what can happen if you don't dip your lights, your eyes, and you dazzled, she's also dazzled by you, and you are looking, and now when you are looking like that, firstly, your button Allah didn't put at the bottom to dip your lights also, or by your ankles, maybe you go down and you fall down, and she thinks that this man is fallen head over heels in love with me. And maybe she trips and she falls on you again. And the whole object will be defeated. So Allah didn't do that. Allah just put it that just with the flick of your thought, you dip your lights. She dips her lights, you can pass one another safely. And then, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Keep your gazes low. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفُظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And this is a guarantee that your furuj will be safeguarded. If you safeguard your eyes, your furuj will be safeguarded. This eyes will look and the tasdeeq will be made by furuj, your private parts then. Then you will get involved in the worst guna, in the filthiest, the dirtiest guna you will get. But if you keep, and you keep your eyes protected, your mind is clear, your heart is clear, you have a wonderful, when you are clean physically, you feel nice. If you are dirty, then you know how you feel. If you didn't have your bath for any reason, you didn't change your clothes, you know how you feel. That smell, you suffer. The person next to you suffers also. But if you are clean, and more cleaner, more important than physical cleanliness, spiritual cleanliness. Your eyes are clean, your mind is clean, your heart is clean. That person lives a wonderful life. So it is protection for your private parts, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى. That is أَزْكَى. For Allah Ta'ala said, وَنَفْسِيُ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. The nafs and how Allah has made it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. And what comes in سَبِّحِ اسْمَ؟ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Yeah, زَكَّى. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. And this is أَزْكَى. The protection of the eyes, the most tazkiyah of a person is in the protection of the eyes. When he does not look at haram, then that is azka. Allah will make all our shaykh, Damat Barakatum, say, what a martaba, those who have got any idea of Hazrat's position. Very, very few people, what Allah had blessed Hazrat with. Hazrat says, all that Allah gave me because of protection of the eyes. And from my young days, Allah blessed me with this treasure of guarding my eyes. And everything, a person wants to know who Hazrat is, just read Hazrat's Ma'arif of Khazain-e-Quran. The treasures of the Quran, what points Allah took out, Hazrat took out from ayat of the Quran. Khazain of the ahadith, what khazana there is. Khazana is that, it is there, but the people don't know. Hazrat pulled it out, took it out. What position Allah has given our Hazrat, those who have any idea, some close association will know what a high position Allah had blessed. Hazrat says, all that Allah gave to me because of the protection of the eyes. So this eyes is a very, very important thing. So a person, yeah, now in Ramzan, yeah, we are, alhamdulillah, we must make shukr. You don't see any woman yet. And alhamdulillah also Allah's fazal, how many masjids, they keep females to clean the masjid. Now, how dangerous is in there? Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, from here also understand, Hazrat went to a Mufti Sahib's house, and there was a female worker in the house. And his wife was gone for some work, but the female worker is there. So Hazrat told him, how? This is not permissible. How can you keep a female in the house working and you alone with her in the house? He said, no, she's only a worker. And there's no like a fear of any fitna or anything. Hazrat said, to see, when there is a cat, when there are mice playing around everywhere, and suddenly the cat comes, and those mice scurry, and they run wherever they get, whichever hole. Then they don't see if it's a white hole or it's a black hole, or it's a clean hole or it's a dirty hole. Whichever hole they find, they go for their protection. So the same way, when your nafs and that desire will come in force, then a person doesn't see anything, who is this? And also there is a masala, or rather a saying in Arabic, what is it? For everything lying down, there's somebody who will pick it up. لكل ساكت داقت. For everything lying down on the road, somebody, there will be somebody to pick it up, whatever kind of thing. So remember, nafs is like that. That no way it won't look who it is or what it is, when the burning fire of dust, lust will come, which is dust, then you will just do whatever you want to. So Hazrat was very straight. He said always, especially for the ulama, where females are working in the house, the day your wife is not going to be there, she's going to visit her mother, family, she's going to do the shopping, tell that worker not to come today. The few dishes I will wash it myself. Look after your iman. A shaitan is so, he plays havoc with a person. You don't realize how he will attack you. So be on your guard all the time. Don't ever, that's why it comes in the hadith, that man and woman must never be together in a room anywhere, on just with no one else there. There must be a third person. Otherwise, shaitan, no matter who you are, shaitan said that even if I get Hasan-e-Basri and Rabia Basriya together in a room, I will make them also get involved in guna. So shaitan, he is that person. And also all he does, he makes that woman look beautiful at that time. She is not beautiful. How many people afterwards, when they made Toba, they said, I got gold at home. Where I went and get involved in this? Shaitan makes her look, it comes clearly in the hadith. May Allah Ta'ala, this guna, if we practice it in Ramzan now, that yeah, from permissible things also, don't look this side, that side. Learn to walk to the toilet, you have to go, keep your gazes low. When you are eating also, don't look around much. It's permissible, it's not haram. But practice on it, then inshallah. And remember, don't think that I'm a Sufi, I look after my eyes for 30-40 days. I'm here in Aitikaf, I'm here for Ramzan. Our test will be when after on Eid's day, when shaitan also, the chains will be, again they'll be unchained. They'll be also everywhere. That is where our test will come. When we'll be back on the roads again, that is when our test will come. Don't make our results now and pass ourselves. When we go out of the masjid, out of Aitikaf, then see what is our condition. May Allah Ta'ala save us from every guna. And this is the one main guna. Really, if we make this effort, Hazrat says, everything else will become easy for you. And for that, make dua also. There is the month of duas also. Duas are readily accepted. So make dua and determine for ourselves that we are not going to get involved in any haram whatsoever. May Allah give us tawfiq.